Let's Hear for the Girls is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise.
Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard.
You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios and Speak Boise at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios.
Speak and be heard.
Let's Hear for the Girls is brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communication experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprint specializes in making your organization more visible with custom brand apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. You want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com Boise or call 208 Imprint. That's 208-467-7468. Yeah.
You keep on asking me the same questions. Why? And second guessing all my intentions. Should know by the way I use my compression that you got the answers to my confessions. It's like I'm powerful with a little bit of tender and emotional sexual bender. Mess me up, yeah, but no one does it better. There's nothing better. That's just the way you make me feel.
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 Uh-huh. So,
remember when I was leaving your office and I told you I would tell you about the time I got hit by a car.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So quick story before we get to the business. I used to work at St. Luke's downtown Boise.
Okay.
And my office was across the street from where we used to live.
Okay.
And so I was carrying my stuff from my old office to my new office and I was crossing the street from the Chick-fil-A. You know where that is.
Of course.
The hotel, right?
Right.
So I had a fishbowl, a bunch of files, and I was walking across the street.
What's a fishbowl?
Like a literal fishbowl.
Oh.
Like a giant
for
ash.
A pet
like
fish.
Yes. For
got it.
Like big fish. Not like a little tiny little. I'm talking about like take two of your arms and like wrap them around fishbowl.
Okay.
It was huge.
Got it.
I had a fishbowl. I was walking across the street.
Okay.
I saw this guy and he was trying to pull out and he couldn't. He wasn't signaling. Yeah, I was going to pull out. He was on his cell phone. So I started walking. He drove out, pinned me to the top of his car.
Oh my God.
I had the fishbowl top and I was like literally laying on his car and he still was on his phone, wasn't recognizing I was on his car.
Oh my God.
And so he was driving slowly inching out because that's a one way.
Right.
So he was like inching out and I was just on the roof of his.
When did he realize that there was a colonized
car? When I was
car?
Screaming.
Oh my God.
The top of my lungs.
Good
and
Lord.
It was just screaming. And so like, luckily he like freaked out, pulled out. And I was so scared at the time. I just limped and hobbled my ass to the hospital.
Do anything wrong. Why didn't you stay?
Because I was scared. So I literally just like, with my fishbowl. No. I walked to the apartment, dropped my stuff off, called my grandma and my grandpa.
Sure.
And they like picked me up and they looked at me like, you dumbass. Like, why didn't you? So I didn't get his information. I never called it insurance. So yeah.
And that man is walking around in Boise going, one time I hit a guy outside the Chick-fil-A and he walked away. So no harm, no foul.
Literally. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
That's the story.
That's crazy.
I got hit by a car. Well, welcome.
Well,
to,
thanks.
Yeah.
Welcome. Welcome to Let's Hear for the Girls.
Our inaugural episode.
Yeah. Inaugural episode. Welcome.
We are super excited.
Yeah. We're really excited.
We're talking about
Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Wonder Woman.
This is the Wonder Woman episode. So, but first, before we get into Wonder Woman, what have you been watching?
I have been binge watching. And when I talk about binge watching,
yeah,
it's like discussing Vampire Diaries.
But you're on like a 24 hour a day.
I'm
binge.
On a 24 hour when the moment when I touch down into my pad.
Yeah.
I've turned on my flat screen TV and you know what my room looks like.
It's
you know
nice.
What the setup is.
Yeah. It's awesome.
TV on, clothes off.
Yeah.
Candles on.
Yeah.
I'm watching Vampire Diaries. Damon, Elena, and Stefan 24/7.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm committed. What about you?
Well, we talked about this a little bit, but my fiance Seth and I have been watching all of the X-Men movies and they're located on different streaming services. But, we watched Dark Phoenix, which you and I disagreed on because I liked it and you did not
terrible.
Like it. what we both agree, Sophie Turner was probably not the best casting choice for that particular film.
No.
But all in all, X-Men is my favorite comic, so I just have, I just love them so much. So even if they're kind of bad, I still love them.
Well, that's a perfect segue. Comics.
Yeah, comics.
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, here we go.
Let's like talk about the basics about this movie.
Yeah.
This one. Let's start off with this. This was a very Wonder Woman period. This franchise is a very important movie to the culture. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Right. So it's the first. Now, some people would argue and say it's not the first femme identifying superhero movie.
Sure.
I would say Catwoman with Halle Berry.
Okay.
She's a little bit of a anti-hero.
Yes.
But that was probably the first female role.
Solely focused on. Absolutely. Yeah. Right.
But this is probably the first real true comic book. She was a hero. She wasn't an anti-hero. Yes. So it's a very important. And female director with Patty Jenkins.
Yes. Patty Jenkins is our director.
So very important. So let's kind of break it down. So director was Patty Jenkins.
Yeah, we have director Patty Jenkins, and it was written by Alan Heinberg, and then Zack Snyder did the story. You know, Zack.
That's the first one, though.
Yeah,
right?
That's the first one. So we're talking about the Wonder Woman that came out in 2017.
Yes.
So you know Zack Snyder from the DC Universe, Justice League, Man of Steel. He did 300. And it stars Gal Gadot, Chris Pine, Robin Wright, Connie Nielsen, and David Thewlis.
Right. And that one, like, tone-wise was much darker than 1984. Would you agree? Because you watched them pretty much back to back.
I did watch Wonder Woman and then Wonder Woman 1984 pretty much back to back. Yeah.
Right.
I would say the first one has more grit to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a very Zack Snyder type of film. Like
very. Yes, absolutely. Yes. He likes the dark. He likes those kinds of really powerful stories that aren't like the cheesy comic book. I mean, there's some, you know, it's not like the Avengers banter that you get a lot. It's a little bit more serious than that.
Yeah. And it really matched with the rest of Justice League, Superman, Spider-Man. Oh my God. dare I? It matched with Superman, Batman. It was
yes.
a very dark, gritty,
yep.
real world, very much today
right.
kind of vibe.
Right. Exactly.
Whereas when we look at 1984, Patty Jenkins wrote and directed, correct?
She did.
And so it's a much different vibe. Now, Wonder Woman 2017, the first one that kicked it off,
yeah.
got a decent rating, 7.4.
Decent. So on IMDb, we have it at 7.4 out of 10. And then Rotten Tomatoes has a tomato meter.
Tomato.
I almost said tomato. A tomato meter of 93% and an audience score of 84%, which is interesting because usually they're flipped. Usually an audience score is higher than the tomato meter. But I mean, they're pretty similar. That's,
yeah,
you know, that's
close enough.
Yeah, that's close enough. So would you agree with that? Would you say?
Yeah. I mean, it was the like we were discussing, it was the first femme superhero movie that was released. Marvel hadn't done it yet. And so I remember when I watched it, I kind of rewatched it a little bit as preparation for this podcast. And it was good. It was a lot more action, a lot more. And maybe we can talk about who are these movies marketed for? That first one was marketed for a male audience.
Definitely.
Although there was a female lead and it was celebrated for femme identify individuals and
right.
was celebrated for femme energy. It definitely was marketed and created for a much more male audience. And if you look at who typically watches these kind of comic book superhero movies, it's guys, male, mask identifying individuals.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Because when you start the origin story on this beautiful island, it's all women
yes.
and they're battling and it's gritty and it's not too focused. I mean, they're obviously, the island, I can't remember the name of it, but they're supposed to be Amazon like warriors
yes.
essentially. Right. So it's like that really powerful essence and there's a queen. And so there's a hierarchy there. But then it quickly transitions to like, okay, now we're going to war.
Yeah.
Right. And then that we're introduced to Chris Pine when he, you know, falls out of the ship and she saves his life. And then, you know, they go to war essentially.
Right.
And that's kind of when it starts transitioning to like, okay, now we're in like a superhero movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Then, I mean, should we go to the next film or should we?
I actually kind of want to talk about the women.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I want to talk about Patty Jenkins, our director here.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So we know Patty Jenkins from obviously Wonder Woman 2017. Mm-hmm. She wrote and directed a 1984. And as probably anybody of the franchise knows, any fan of the franchise knows that there's going to be a Wonder Woman 3 also directed by Patty Jenkins. Right. But she's also done other things. She's directed episodes of The Killing, Entourage, Arrested Development. And her big one, though, her big film was Monster.
Yeah, absolutely.
In 2003, starring Charlize Theron.
Which is really interesting because, and we can talk about Gadot.
Yeah.
Her trajectory, very similar in the sense of like action packed. She typically does action movies.
Right, right.
I think Monster, I haven't seen it in a while, but it was a very intense.
Crazy intense.
Yes.
Well, and that was, and so Monster, the premise of that, as most people know, is Charlize Theron plays Eileen Wuornos, yes. Which is like, and 2003, it was kind of before everyone started making serial killer films. Mm-hmm. It was way before, you know, the podcasts and the TV shows and all of that. So it was kind of newer.
Yeah.
But the thing I think it's so funny. So like Monster swept every like award possible that year.
Yes, it did.
And so Roger Ebert named Monster the best film of 2004.
It was a great film.
And number three of the decade. Yeah. Of the decade, right? And so how, like, Jenkins was not nominated for an Academy Award.
No.
And I mean, lately, I know in the past few years, we've talked about, like, Oscars so white. We've talked about the lack of representation of female, especially in the director category.
Me Too movement.
Yeah, Me Too movement. But it's so rare to see an actor or an actress win that many prestigious awards as Charlize Theron did. And not even a name. Nope. Not even a mention of Patty Jenkins. She wins, like, the Spirit Award and, like, all of these kind of more alternative things that like mainstream doesn't really care about, right?
Well, probably more on the pulse.
Yeah.
Than, you know,
right. Yeah. Right. And there have only been 5 women nominated for Best Director at the Academy Awards so far. Not accounting our most current release of those nominations.
Yeah.
But you know, and so there's obviously a lack of representation of that, but I just think it's so funny because that would never happen to, you know, Martin Scorsese. That would never happen to Quentin Tarantino.
No.
That would never happen to you know, like Alfonso Cuarón, like that would never happen. And so I just think it's so interesting that the first time I'm hearing about Patty Jenkins is Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I mean, literally, like when we started discussing about her kind of career track, I had to look back and I'm like, oh, wow, she hasn't done a lot of movies. This is probably, besides Monster, this is like what, film number 2 or 3 for her?
I think she's done some other things.
She's done a lot of TV, but I don't think
but as far as like big films.
Yes.
Yeah.
Head of the Marquee.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a very, again, going back to like, how did this affect the culture? This was a big moment to say we have 2 women kind of leading the charge.
Yeah.
And it was great that Zack Snyder kind of set the foundation.
Yeah.
And then pushed them forward.
Right.
So that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So and I imagine the next Wonder Woman and continue Wonder Woman movies will be female director, female produce, female writer.
Yeah.
I can't imagine they would go back. I mean, unless they feel like we need a male writer.
Right.
I can imagine they will continue to go with male or female writers, femme-identified writers.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. And with Gal Gadot. I think it's Gal Gadot.
Gadot. Gadot. I think it's Gadot.
Yes. So she's an Israeli actress. She was a model. She's a martial artist. She won Miss Israel in 2004.
She was also, she competed because I did a little research because, you know, I like to be.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she was Miss, she also competed in Miss Universe and purposely lost.
How?
She would like wear the wrong outfits.
Oh, I love that.
She would
wear
the wrong things. She would show up late.
Yes.
And she's like, I'm not here for this.
Yeah. I love
and then
that.
She was like in the Israeli.
She was in the army.
Yes.
So well, it's mandated service. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she did like 2 years. She studied political science and I think economy or something in that kind of realm. So she's, mm-hmm. you know, what I mean, she's a brilliant woman, well-rounded woman. And I don't think we talk about until recently, we don't talk about like the entire kind of presence of female actresses.
Right.
Or, you know, I mean, actresses. We kind of talk to them as like, oh, how did they look and what did they wear? And like, but now.
Who are they dating?
Yeah, absolutely. She's a well-rounded person.
Right.
Period.
Yeah, definitely. What was the first thing you saw her in?
So, okay, I'm not a fa- this was literally the first thing I saw her in Wonder Woman 2017.
Yeah.
I hate Fast and Furious. I hate it. I don't get it. I just bought my first car this year. So, and it's a Jetta hatchback. It looks like a soccer mom car. So if you look at me and say like, Fast and Furious, I'm like, Matchbox. Like literally, like I don't understand it. What was the first thing you seen her in?
Yeah, I would say Fast and Furious is the first thing. I mean, I'm certainly not like a fan of the franchise. I think I've seen a couple movies and I was probably like dragged to them, unfortunately. But yeah. And, so I would say Wonder Woman is the first thing I was like, oh yes, this is her. Well, and that's really what shot her into
right.
like that level of A-list stardom, right? Is Wonder Woman.
Yeah, because prior to she was a model, she was kind of doing competitions, and then she went straight to Fast and Furious. I think she did audition for a role as a Bond girl.
She did. That's right. She did audition. Right.
But because she did so well, they put her in Fast and Furious, which Fast and Furious is the modern Bond interpretation, if you really think about it.
Interesting.
And it kind of makes sense in my mind. In my small mind.
I don't think I'm like well equipped enough to. I'm just not.
It's not interesting. Next topic.
Next topic. So something that I want to make sure that we do every episode is ask ourselves, does this film pass the Bechdel test? And for those of you don't know, the Bechdel test is where we're watching a film or any sort of scene where there's two women and a certain percentage of that conversation cannot revolve around the opposite sex.
So are we talking about 2017 or 2000 or the latest
I think
one?
Both. I think both.
I would say the first one, no.
Yes.
Yes.
Passes the Bechdel test?
You think so?
When you have two women, right? They're not talking about boys. They're talking about
There are scenes, yes. There are scenes in the first one. I think the second one, far more. There was interactions between Kristen Wiig and Cadet Cadeau. Yes. And even the beginning kind of like, I love that beginning in the one that just came out, that 1984, that beginning scene where it was just a bunch of women running through the mountains of Greece.
Yes.
And they're just like kicking ass.
Yeah.
Like that one. Yes. I live for it.
Right.
The majority of the second one
does not pass.
No. Cause it was all about Chris Pine.
Absolutely.
Which we will get to because we both have feelings about that.
We do have feelings.
Should we move to the second one?
I don't know. Like let's compare. So I liked the first one. I liked Wonder Woman 2017. Yeah. I thought it was a really good film. I was entertained. I was engaged. I wouldn't say that superhero films are like my go-to, but
that's fair.
I liked it a lot. I liked it a lot.
Superhero movies are my go-to. I love that genre. I really enjoyed it. I will watch it again. I have watched it a couple times. I would say this first, the 1984. And I think a lot of people agreed it was kind of trash.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I didn't even finish it.
I remember you telling me that. And I
remember it was like, it was night time. First of all, it was time for sleep. And I was like, there's some movies that I would lose sleep for and like be tired all day. But this is not one of them.
I watched it the day it came out. I was over at my parents' house and we all were like looking at each other like, can we cut this off now?
I just think, sometimes I feel like, where do you get off having a 2 hours and 30 minute movie?
Well, there's a lot to unpack about that movie that made it so terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know if terrible is the correct word. I think we have this overexposure of superhero movies. And so the bar is set very high and they're all very different. I've done like a lot of research on like themes and concept on this movie, which I'm super excited to talk to you about.
Well, I think too that like, I mean, some people want a formulaic story because it's comforting and it's like, it's entertaining, but I think they have done a really good job making different stories. But I thought 1984 was disorganized. And I think there are some, you know, there's some qualities about it. They were like, you know, gosh, if they could take some of the best aspects of this movie and have a do-over, then yeah, it could work. But as it stands now, it was so long. And I was not pulled in.
Yeah, I would agree. The first one was action packed.
Yep.
It was fun. It was exciting. It was gritty. It was dirty. And it fit the tone, not the tune, but it fit the tone of the Zack Snyder universe.
Yeah.
Completely. It was.
Right.
If you look at all the films, it like it just literally like transitioned perfectly.
Right.
And then you have 1984, which totally switched tone. It was much lighter. It was much more fun, whimsical, carefree.
Well, and it was, and you had said earlier too, like, you know, oh, the 80s, because that's like, you know, the mall scene at the beginning, but that's kind of all we get out of that, other than like the fashion from time to time. But I think that they kind of went in hard with this 80s, like we got to make everything about this like 80s.
Right. Well, if you think about it though, if you really, and I don't, again, you said you're not a superhero fan movie. If you look at superhero movies made in the 80s, which was really popular at that time. You had like Superman, which had a couple different interpretations or a couple different sequels.
Yeah.
You had Batman in like the late 80s, 90s with like Michael Keaton.
Or is this like Adam West Batman or Michael Keaton Batman?
Michael Keaton
or Val
Batman.
Val Kilmer Batman. I hated that.
No, not Val Kilmer. Well, not Val Kilmer, but I'm talking about like, who did we just say?
Adam West.
No, Adam West.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton with like Jack Nicholson.
Oh, and Danny DeVito.
Yes,
yeah,
and it's like campy kind of
which
like
you
kitschy,
love.
Which we love. And I think they were trying to capture that moment again.
That I could certainly see that. It did not work for me.
It didn't work. No, absolutely not.
It did not work.
They were trying. I think they really were trying to capture that moment in the 80s where we were celebrating, where we had this revision of superhero movies.
Yeah.
And it was lighthearted. It was fun.
That nostalgia piece.
Right. And it was a lack of focus on the action fighting sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more about it was character driven. It was narrative driven.
Right.
And this movie, I really think it lacked a strong narrative.
Yeah.
And it was kind of disorganized.
Well, it was disorganized, but I was also a little bored. So like the villain, I thought the actor that plays the villain,
Pascal.
Yeah. I can't think of his name right now.
Google search.
But I mean, he did well.
Yeah, he's a great actor. He was in,
Narcos. Like he is great. Like, he's
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Game of Thrones. Yes, he's he fights the mountain, right?
Yes.
And gets his face smashed in.
such a great scene.
Yeah, I mean, it's... he's a great actor, and it wasn't anything about that. But the plot on, like, what the dilemma is, right? If we look at the dilemma of the film, and they, you know, he steals this really powerful, like, rock thing, and then he turns into it. Like, that just did... I was like... I didn't get the sense of urgency. I didn't get the issue.
Well, that's good because like when I was researching, I'm like, what is this rock? You know, what does this rock interpret or oh my God.
Represent.
Represent. Yeah. Just to let you know, I am drinking Emma Reinhardt, a rosé Pinot Noir. And so I'm a little,
Pinot Noir.
Pinot
the way you said
it. Pinot Noir.
Stop it.
If you're a Kimmy Schmidt fan.
Oh my God. Have some?
Yeah. So I'm a little loopy do. It's the monkey paw.
Oh.
It's the monkey paw. If you think about it,
and
if all our millions of listeners.
Our millions. Yeah.
Millions of listeners. It's the monkey paw. It's like this concept of like you make a wish and then your wish comes true, but you sacrifice something.
Yeah.
But I don't think the sacrifice was high stake enough.
No.
In order for us to feel like, well, okay, like I'm invested.
Yeah, I was not.
And then there's also this kind of concept of like, if you think about, especially if we focus on Godot's character, Wonder Woman, Diana Prince, mm-hmm. what did she lose? I mean, she lost her powers, right?
Right.
Because she got her man back.
Right.
And then also it's this kind of concept of like, that really bothered me. I'm like, that didn't really make sense to me. Is that like there's this random guy that's just like living out here in Chris Pine's body,
right?
Or Chris Pine's essence,
right?
And like only she
can see that it's.
And so it's just like
Steve.
Case of the Body Snatchers. I'm like, who is this guy? What's his girlfriend saying? What's his mom saying? Is he dead? Is he in the
right?
In the Get Out space, just right. Like floating. Like what's going on with this guy? So there's like this lack of connection
and depth.
It's just like this quick like, oh, here's a rock and you can make a wish and blah blah blah, which is an interesting trope.
Yeah. And I mean everybody that I've talked to about this movie has said that it's trash, but obviously our saving grace here is Kristen Wiig. She's I know you have feelings, but I'm saying it's that comedic relief that people rely on in these kinds of films.
But see, the thing is, I don't think it's such an old trope.
That's true.
It's such an old, it's such an old femme trope. If you think about like Halle Berry and her Catwoman, if you think about Michelle Pfeiffer and her Catwoman, if you think about Uma Thurman and Batman with, George Clooney?
Oh, George Clooney, Batman.
And you have Uma Thurman, who's like, you know, Poison Ivy, and she's like this bumbling idiot.
Right.
And this corporation who doesn't, acknowledge her talent and doesn't acknowledge. And it's the same kind of trope where she's just like, I want to be powerful. I want to be respected. It was the same kind of like, okay, we see it. We get it.
So it was a tired narrative.
Yeah. It's kind of, and like, I really compared these films to either like early-ish 90s, 80s, and then also Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
His Spider-Mans also were kind of connecting to this kind of campy.
Right.
Really connecting to comic book superhero movies.
Right.
Whereas like our modern interpretation of superhero movies are more like espionage, kind of action packed.
Yeah. Revenge.
Yeah. They're more like.
Those kinds of themes. Yeah. Darker themes.
Darker themes. For sure.
Because I'm a fan. My favorite comic book is X-Men. I love X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Those are my, I love those Sam Raimi, Spider-Man, even the shitty, Venom, Topher Grace's Venom in the third one. But it's not, I know it's not good.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like, I still like it because it's in that kind of area. And I know people talk so much shit about Tobey Maguire and his.
Well, there's this like development of character where you can like invest in. Whereas this one, it's just this like, you have like Gadget Godot. You have like
super. Gal Gadot. Not Gadget.
Gadet. Gal Gadot. I'm sorry, Gal. I know you're listening.
She's certainly listening. Yeah.
But you have. Wonder Woman, who is just like, again, she's like, the first movie was set in what, World War One,
World War II? World War One.
And then she's like in the 80s. I'm like, you haven't dated, girl. You haven't gotten on one date. You haven't found a man for like 70 years. And you're still like obsessed with Chris Pine. And it's just like this, I get it. She's an innocent kind of like pure spirit.
I wouldn't classify her as innocent.
Really?
I would not. No, I wouldn't classify her as innocent. I would say that she is like, her main priority is not a man. Like she's not walking around like, I'm single.
Then what was her first wish? Was like, I want my man back.
Well, okay. But it's because she was in love with him. But I don't think that her.
Girl, she fought one war and she's in love with him.
I'm just saying.
I'm like, send me to war and find me a man.
But what I'm saying is like, okay, so in the first one, right, there's like kind of that awkward, like, oh my God, she's seen me naked. And she's like, is that a penis? Like there's some of that like innocent playfulness because she literally doesn't, like she's never seen a man before.
Okay,
right?
But she's been alive for like,
okay,
for a long time. She's seen a lot of men at this point.
Okay, but I'm saying there's a disconnect between how she feels about Steve in the first, like there's no bridge. There's no bridge.
It's ridiculous.
In her romantic life. But then you could also argue that, okay, it's a good thing that not all she is focused on is finding a man.
Okay, but then again, I will say her first wish out her mouth was, I want a man. As a powerful woman, and this is the thing, we have to look at Wonder Woman as like an archetype. She is like the most powerful woman in that universe.
Right.
So she has, there's nothing that she wants. She works at like National History Museum. She runs a program. She's gorgeous. She's beautiful. And her first wish was like, I want my man back.
Yeah.
Clearly, she ain't dating. And there's these scenes where there's this guy who's constantly asking her out. And she's like, and she's still wishing for this man who she just saw his penis one time. There's no sex scene.
Yeah, that's the thing. There is no sex scene. So, but that's, I think you could say that though, because you said, oh, she's so pure. She's so innocent. So to me, that was like a really pure affection.
But then again,
that she has.
Hold on then. I'm not done.
Okay.
The next scene, the first scene where they're like back together, she's screwing him. Like within the first like 50, she's like, that's my tongue like making out. And she's like screwing him within the first like, when she realized, oh my God, this man that I made a wish for and I kidnapped his body. I'm going to screw him.
Well, don't you think it's possible that she knows it's temporary and that's why she did that?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay. Would you ask for Chris Pine back?
No.
You wouldn't? Oh, I would.
I know you would.
Certainly.
Yeah.
That's my vibe.
Oh, we're using vibe now?
Only for that. Only for that.
Hilarious.
Who's your favorite Chris?
Hemsworth.
Oh, yeah. I don't like blondes, but I know you do.
I love Chris Hemsworth is chef's kiss.
I need like, I think I would say Chris Pine. Kind of rugged.
Chris Hemsworth is rugged.
Well, yeah.
We are talking, we're off track.
No, but he's a pretty boy. Okay, fine. We'll go back, but I'm just saying he's a pretty boy.
What did you think about Kristen Wiig's character?
I liked her character. I like her in everything, though. I'm a big fan. Yeah. I've watched her since she started on SNL. Like, I'm a big fan.
She's a solid actress, and so I think she did the
role.
She
is a solid actress.
Justice. I just think it was... I think the commonality between all the actresses, all the performances, is just a lack of direction, narrative, and execution. And I think that comes back again with, like, Patty Jenkins writing it. I'm not saying she did a... I'm not saying she's a terrible writer. I just think it just wasn't written well.
Well, and so if we look at 1984, all of the side character is on Kristen Wiig. She has to carry the team on her back.
She does,
right?
Yeah.
But in the first movie, in the 2017 Wonder Woman, you have this great, cute supporting character in the secretary.
Yeah.
That is so, like, she's funny and she provides that comic relief. But then you have Dr. Poison, who's also a supporting character, who's a woman who's so villainous herself.
Yeah.
But also kind of in that, you know, I'm trying to impress, right? Because she's clearly trying to impress that her superior, right? But you have a couple of other people that are taking that load as a supporting character, and you just don't have that in 1984.
Yeah, it's two women kind of like carrying
the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a lack of action too. So you couldn't say, you know, the dialogue was so important. Whereas most superhero movies, and if we look at the 2017 Wonder Woman film, it was, I think I counted the actual like fighting scenes. There was only like four, maybe five.
In the second one.
Yeah. And a 2 hour span.
Two and a half.
That's not a lot.
Yeah. I want to talk about one particular scene.
Okay.
There's that scene where, Steve... when he becomes, you know, Chris Pine, right? He becomes Steve again, and they're in, you know, that guy's apartment, and he's trying on all the clothes. You know what scene I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my gosh, these 80 clothes are so funny because I'm from the 40s and, you know, that kind of thing. So that is your movie trailer moment. That is what you show in the movie trailer. Oh, it's so funny. What is this fanny pack? Ha, ha, ha. That was such a missed opportunity. I watched that scene twice to make sure that I was... seeing what I was seeing, and it was not funny. Like it could have been so much more. I absolutely think so, because you're looking at that and you're like, you're bringing in someone who is completely ignorant to the time that they're in, and it's funny because it's clothes and it's what you're wearing, and he's like reacting to all these different things, and that's what you put in the movie trailer.
No, because it's a comic book movie.
That's what you put in the movie trailer.
No, it's a comic book movie. You put the action, you put the fighting, and that's why they focus on the action, the fighting. They focus on, you got to see the bulk of the movie because they showed all the fighting scenes. It, at the end of the day, it's still an action comedy, not comedy, action fighting superhero movie. In reality,
it is
this kind of like 1980s superhero rom-com film.
Right. But rom-com suggests there's comedy, and that's where you could get that. I was so disappointed in some of the execution of the scenes that could have been much funnier.
No, I don't disagree with you. Typically, that kind of scene you're talking about is done in the mall.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about like Love Don't Cost a Thing, that kind of like turning the geek into the hero.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? So it's typically done in the mall. It's typically, you have music like suddenly I see, like you have this like,
right. Yeah, no, I can see where you're going.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the release, because we're in COVID.
Yeah.
We can't go to the movie theater. Well, we're in Idaho, so of course we can, but you know, other people can't. And so this was released on HBO Max, which is where we both watched it, right?
Yeah.
And so looking at the Rotten Tomatoes score, 60% tomato meter, okay? And then a 74% audio score. So this is what I was talking about earlier when it's usually flipped, because the first one had a higher tomato meter than it did an audience score. Yeah. So I would not agree with this. I would give it like an F because I was so... I mean, I didn't even finish it. No. So do you think it being released on HBO, like if there was time to really do the traditional like movie, like Would it done better? Would have it? Would it have been more well received?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? No, I don't either.
So, I think it was. I personally, I do feel like they should, because the first film was done. It was a technically like a prequel. It was kind of like calling back to her history, explaining her origin story.
Yeah,
I do understand why they went with like the 1980s or 19. I mean, something beyond a modern current kind of film. Mm-hmm. I just felt like if we look at where this film will lie in the larger universe, was it like Zack Snyder? Because Zack Snyder is re-releasing Justice League, which everyone is.
It's going to be a four-part. Yeah, four
it's
hours.
It's going to be huge. Yeah,
4 hours.
It's gonna be
huge. Yeah.
I felt like it just was so disconnected.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm interested to see what your parents thought, because neither one of us were alive in the 80s, right? And so...
Praise God.
Because we're so young.
It's a vibe.
Yeah. Don't even. So I wonder if you're watching this and you were, you know... our parents' age in the 80s, would it be more entertaining? Would it be more nostalgic?
No, my parents hated it.
Okay. Trish and Ken were like, absolutely not.
Trish and
not.
Ken were like,
pass.
No. Yeah, because it was just so long. And there was this lack of drive. Again, we go back to this like monkey paw idea. Like when you talk about genies or gens or you make a wish, typically whatever you get your wish comes true, but you sacrifice something and it increases the stakes.
Absolutely.
And there wasn't that. At the end of the day, like, she got her powers back. Pascal, I can't remember his character's name. He got his son back. He could live his life. Kristen Wiig was alive. And that's the other thing that, like, really upset me about Kristen Wiig was, like, her transformation from, like, dorky, like, no one in her office really liked her to, like, the hot, like, sexy. Like, the only thing she wanted was to be respected and to, like, look good. Like, is that such a terrible thing to ask?
Well, it wasn't only that. She wanted to look like Diana Prince, because that's what she said. That was what she was
for. Like, it's not like she was acting like she's like, I want $1 million. I want something like inappropriate. She's just like, I just want people to like actually
to notice me.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's just like the stakes were so low that you couldn't invest in anything.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about that fight scene.
Okay.
Where she turns into Cheetah, which is just like, what the, it was ugly looking, it was hella dark.
Yeah,
you couldn't see anything because the CGI was so terrible.
And
she was just like, at the end it was just like, that's it, that's your biggest climactic scene, right?
It was
there.
Yeah, super anticlimactic. Like, it was just I didn't, it was so to say, I was so unsatisfied.
It was
with the ending. It was not. No, I just, and I feel bad bashing it so much because the first one was so good. So that's the thing here. Okay. So we have the first one that we all liked. We have the second one that we thought was trash. What's next for this franchise? There's going to be a Wonder Woman 3.
I think it's going to be set now.
Okay.
I'm using air quotes.
Modern times.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's going to be a crossover film. Not so much, very much like a Marvel film where you have characters from another movie coming in.
Sure.
So you might see like a Flash, you might see a Cyborg, it may set you up for a Justice League film or like another film.
Right. But Justice League is going to come out before Wonder Woman 3.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's where it's going to be interesting.
So it may set you up for another hero coming in. It may like continue on from the Justice League film.
Yeah.
So I feel like that one should be stronger. I assume if they continue with Zack Snyder, it's going to be a little bit more darker because the current kind of universe is a much more darker, deeper, grittier place.
Right.
I think they're going to move away. I think this is kind of experimental.
Right. I mean, Zack Snyder's Justice League is coming out next month.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. On March 18th.
Oh my gosh. I'm super
excited. So we're going to see her before we see her again. We're going to see Wonder Woman before we see her again in Wonder Woman 3.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not looking forward to Woman. First of all, trilogies can go oh so right and oh so wrong. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it kind of depends, but my recommendation would be just, oh my God, please do not make me sit down for two and a half hours to watch this shitty movie.
I mean, I'm going to watch it regardless.
Right.
I do hope it's a little bit more grittier. I do like a femme kind of like kicking ass. Like, I really enjoyed, and I know a lot of people have mixed feelings. I don't know if you've seen this. I really enjoyed Captain Marvel.
Oh, I loved Captain Marvel.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah. I love that kind of smart ass. I don't want to, I hope this word isn't offensive to anyone, but bitchy, kind of like snarky. Like, I know I walk in the room, I know I'm better than all the men.
Yeah, I love that.
I love that because like, we don't see that. We see, and that's the thing that I kind of like about Wonder Woman is she was like, you know, she's the baddest bitch. Excuse me.
Trigger. But she is subdued.
She is.
Because you have Brie Larson for Captain Marvel, who is, she did Room. I mean, she is a dramatic actress. Like she's done some comedies too. She was in like Scott Pilgrim, you know, and all those things.
So holy like, crap, she
yeah,
was.
Yeah, she's Scott. Yeah, she's the girlfriend.
Oh my God.
She's the girlfriend. And so hold up. She's the girlfriend in Scott Pilgrim.
The silence is like my mind breaking.
The one that like, you know.
Ramona?
Like, no, not Ramona. The one that like breaks Michael Cera's heart.
Oh my gosh, she's
yeah. Da, 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 da. I don't know what da, that da, is.
She's a vegan. She was dating the vegan dude.
Yeah, she was dating the vegan dude.
Oh my God,
that's Brie Larson.
Hashtag right. Gagged.
Right, but she wins, you know, an Oscar for Room, which was like a crazy good performance. So
was that with Jodie Foster?
No, Room was when it's her and she has a child, but she was kidnapped and she's kept
in, right? I think okay. Panic Room.
You know, right? Oh, yeah, Panic Room. But I mean, so you have this dramatic actress that can pull off that cheeky, snarky, like bad bitch kind of energy. And I liked it a lot. And I know people were upset because Captain Marvel is not a woman and they completely changed that. And I get it. But like, also get over it because it's...
It was done well.
I liked it.
And that's, again, that was set in like, what, the 90s?
Oh, gosh, maybe. Yeah.
Blockbuster. So it was set in the 90s.
Oh, Blockbuster.
But it didn't focus on the time frame so much. It focused more on the character.
Right.
And I think this one was so much more about like, we're in the 80s.
It relied way too heavily on that.
Yeah.
Way too heavily. Yeah. Yeah.
I hope Patty Jenkins continues on directing it.
Absolutely.
Seeing how the first one went, I think she has the chops to deliver a really powerful film.
Right.
I would say they probably need to find another writer.
Yeah.
I appreciate the Gal Gadot.
Oh my God.
I appreciate that she was a co-director or a co-producer.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate all of that. I think the writing was subpar.
Yeah, certainly. But yeah, but we know how talented Patty Jenkins is.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do agree.
What do you think about what's next for Gal Gadot?
Well, she's, you know, she launched into stardom with this. Yeah. So she's, there's... She's actually, I have a couple of things here, I think. So looking ahead, she's set to play Hedy Lamarr in a TV miniseries. And then she's playing Cleopatra in the film of, you know.
Which is very controversial.
So
do you want to talk about that a little bit?
I do in a second. But like, that's the big name stuff that you can expect from somebody that's had like this success with a big film like Wonder Woman. You can expect those kind of roles. Absolutely. But here's what it is.
Cleopatra?
I mean, because that's going to be a big movie.
Cleopatra, the last person who played Cleopatra. I don't know why I can't say it.
Cleopatra. There you go.
Was Elizabeth Taylor?
Right, but that's what I'm saying. It's like a revival, right? So like, it's going to be a big movie.
It's going to be a big movie, but I'm surprised. I mean, granted, I think she's like producing it or she's really attached to the project in a higher level than just acting in it. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that they went with her.
So tell me about the controversy with Cleopatra.
Well, partly because they typically, we talk about Oscar so white. We talk about films set in Africa, which Egypt is in Africa. There is this drive to have POCs, BIPOC individuals playing the film or playing in the film, the characters in the film.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so a lot of people would want a black actress. They would want a African actress. They want someone who is mm-hmm. going to truly represent the film. And if you talk about like Gods of Egypt, if you talk about Cleopatra, the original, you talk a lot about these films. When you talk about Egypt, who played Moses? What was that famous Ten Commandments? I can't remember.
Oh God. Yeah. I don't know.
You have
not white. My kind of movie.
I love that movie. But that's the thing. It's like they're probably going to do this revival, this like interpretation of the big 1950s, 40s, 50s giant, huge set kind of, you know, Ten Commandments, Gone with the Wind. They're trying to revive that. I think that's the direction they're going to go. And you typically, when those movies, you have these white actors, actresses playing these POC characters. And so people want a Black or an African actor or actress playing these films. And so she made a statement. I don't want to misinterpret what she said, but she pretty much was like, I can play again. This is, I can play whatever I want.
That's the Scarlett Johansson syndrome, yes, right there. But you know, Patty Jenkins is doing Cleopatra.
Is she really?
Yes. So that's what I mean. That's what I mean. So this is the start, right? This is the start of like the Martin Scorsese, Leonardo DiCaprio relationship. This is the Gal Gadot, Patty Jenkins, like this is happening. And so she's doing Cleopatra. So do you think it's going to be like, okay, we have this white passing gorgeous woman who is Israeli, right? But you have this white passing woman, and then all of our supporting characters around us are going to be BIPOC.
Probably.
Which bugs the shit out of me.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends on like how you interpret who Cleopatra was. If she was a Macedonian kind of Greek ish white woman who came to Egypt, which is some interpretation of history. If she was an actual African Egyptian kind of individual, I don't know. I will probably watch it. I do agree with the criticism.
Yeah.
Because we have had so many white passing individuals, white women play that role. I get why people are so upset.
My fear and my prediction, which I think is going to come true, is that she will be essentially her same character.
Yeah, she's not
quiet, stoic, powerful, yeah, there gorgeous, we go.
There
elegant.
We go. There we go.
That's what it is.
And that's the thing. It's like, maybe we can talk about this when we talk about like, who is
Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot. Who is she as like, what does her career track look like?
Right.
You know, I'm going to say something controversial, but brave.
Ooh, be brave.
I don't think she's that great of an actress.
I don't think so either.
Okay, good. I don't think she is.
I thought she was good for the film.
I think she's a great, yeah, action kind of.
But I mean, that's what Fast and Furious is too, yeah, right? It's that action. And so, I mean, yeah, but.
And you know what her next film is? That's going to be coming out actually very soon. I can't remember the date, but like within this year. And we both love the first one.
What?
It's not a franchise, but it's like a universe. She's entering into another universe.
What is it?
Murder on the Nile.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
She's going to be in Murder on the Nile.
Interesting. Okay.
And that's a very kind of...
Death on the Nile.
Death on the Nile. Thank you. Death on the Nile. If you ever seen Murder on the Orient, correct?
Love it. On the Orient Express.
Orient Express. Thank mm-hmm. you. We love Agatha Christie over here.
We love her.
That movie was incredible.
Knives Out, baby.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
No.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought Knives Out was her.
I think it's the same genre. I don't know if that's
her. Shit. I thought it was that. Now I'm embarrassed.
It's the rose.
Well, never
y'all.
Mind, Agatha.
But we love a murder mystery. I think she will be fine because it's more of like an ensemble cast. Then it's a individual kind of driven film.
Certainly, certainly. So
she'll be fine, but that will be her first kind of like non-action, non-fighting, no guns, no combat. I am a actress. I'm a thespian film.
Well, here's what's interesting. Guess who her co-star is supposed to be in that film?
Who?
Armie Hammer.
Oh, God.
And the drama surrounding him. I don't think he's going to be in it now.
It's too late. It's already filmed.
Oh, well then,
I
think it's going to damn. I mean, we don't have to get into his weird
cannibalism. Listen, Arm and Hammer can spread deodorant all over me like, and take a bite.
Well, okay. Like, we're sex positive over here, but that's a little.
Take a bite. I got
a
ham
hock.
That's
a fetish I'm not into.
I got a ham hock. He could take a bite. Oh, we could talk about that after the podcast.
Oh my God. Anyway, I think that might actually, because you have like Kenneth Branagh, you have like Annette Bening, you have Letitia Wright from Black Panther. I mean, like, you have a lot of people in there that are great. Kenneth Branagh is like the king of this genre, right?
Yeah.
He was on Mord and Lore. Yeah. So like, we're, you know, but I wonder if the release is going to be damaged because of the fact that Armie Hammer is on there, because he is not popular, because he's dropped out of two projects already.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, I saw trailers like early last year. I'm talking like October, November.
Right.
So it's like
expected September this year.
September of 2021?
Yeah, this year.
Yeah, so it's been circulating.
We're doing it. Yeah,
it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm just thinking it could be, oh my God, Russell Brand is in it.
Russell Brand is in it.
Russell Brand is in it.
Well, Johnny Depp was in the first one. I mean, Murder on the Orient.
You are not comparing Russell Brand.
I'm not comparing Johnny Depp. I'm just like.
That cheeky British, or not British, but like that cheeky.
Faux British.
You know, mysterious, like dark hair.
Yeah. Like, kind of like you're an actor, but.
Devil may care sort of.
Yeah. Thing. Like you like, okay, you're good, but like, you make questionable choices on the role that you play.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I like Johnny Depp, though. Do you not?
Controversial, but brave.
Do you not like Johnny Depp?
Like, okay, we can talk about that in another episode. This is about women.
Okay, I'm just saying. I think that's kind of weird, but yeah. Okay. So that's what's next. I think for her is that she's going to be offered these kind of bigger name things. But I think that when she has, I'm interested to see how she performs when she has an ensemble cast, even though Fast and Furious is an ensemble cast. I'm not a fan of that franchise. So if it's a film like this, that's not a franchise, that's a standalone. I'd be interested to see.
Well, like I was saying, she's the Bond girl. And Fast and Furious. So she's like inputted in there to be like the girlfriend, to be attractive,
sexy.
To be like the, like, oh, I have to go get my girl. She's like dangling from the
like damsel in distress.
Yes.
Oh God.
She's not the driving force.
Right. So, yeah. So I'm interested to see, when she has an ensemble cast of a standalone film.
So here's the question.
Okay.
Who do you think, if you could compare her to an actress, like their projection, like their career track, who do you compare her to? Because I have some ideas and I would love to know what you think.
I think that I would probably compare her to Scarlett Johansson is my head for some reason, just because of that dumb comment she's made about how she's an actress so she can play anything. I can play a chair. Well, and the whole Woody Allen thing. But anyway, so I don't know that if I could pin her to, I don't know, who's the most like stoic, beautiful actress besides
she her? Is Angelina Jolie. Without the acting chops.
There you go. Because I was going to say.
Angelina Jolie in Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Ugh.
And name another kind of action film.
Salt.
That's her.
Yeah.
She is like a
Tomb Raider.
Charlize Theron and like a Huntsman. Snow White and the Huntsman. She'll do like sci-fi. She'll do fantasy. She'll do action. She'll do some action comedy because she's in a film with Ryan Reynolds and Dwayne Rock Johnson coming on Netflix.
Okay.
So I can see her focusing on that, and then the moment when she like phases out of movies, she'll be like a humanitarian.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah,
that is perfect.
Right?
But I mean, Angelina Jolie is, I mean, Changeling. I mean, those movies. I mean,
she'll never get to that point, though.
Right.
She'll never get to that point.
Right.
Gia, because that's the thing. Angelina Jolie bounces between genres,
right,
much more frequently than I think.
Right.
Gal Gadot will ever get to the point.
Right. I would agree with that.
Yeah. She'll always play. I think her background will lend her towards these kind of action films.
Right. I agree with that.
I don't think she has the chops to do like a serious kind of Oscar performance.
No, I don't think so either.
Which, I mean, it's a lane.
It's a fine lane.
Yeah. I think, and we can talk about like the future for female superhero movies. I think it's going to be a lane that's going to be popular.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But is it going to be along the same lines of like the cash cow that it's like, now we have to remake everything. Everybody gets an origin story.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's going to be like that, which is, yeah. I mean, it's just fine. That's kind of the nature of how it is, but
I think you have to, I think like, Superman, he's in the Cosmo, but he's in the ether. He's in the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
With Batman. We already know. So like Wonder Woman, we have to start over again. Captain Marvel, we have to start over again.
Right.
Any female superhero movie, we have to start from their beginning.
Right.
And then we can build out.
Which female superhero do you want to see?
I want to see Storm.
You want to see Storm.
I want to see Storm. I feel like I love Halle Berry. I think she did a disservice. I don't know who played the new, I can't remember her name.
Played the new Halle Berry?
Yeah.
Storm. Yeah.
She did a fine job. Young I think, Storm. Yeah, I think it was that you liked. I thought it was trash. I would love to see an actual African
Queen.
Yeah. I want to see like Lupita Nyong'o. I want to see whoever. I want to see that kind of aesthetic as a Storm.
Right.
For sure.
Alexandra Shipp.
That's the name
of the actress.
I mean, she did a fine job. Young I think Storm. They were trying to go for like an 80s punk Storm.
Sure.
But for me, I want to see, especially since Marvel has the licensorship of X-Men now, and it's underneath, and I'm sure within the next kind of phase, as they like to say, will release it. I want to see them do it justice.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, and controversial, but brave. I don't think it's that controversial and not brave. Marvel does a far better job than DC producing movies, film.
Oh, yeah.
Storyline.
Yeah. But it's funny because I gravitate towards the DC stories way more. Besides X-Men. I mean, I think Batman, I mean.
Some of the Batman films were good, but again, it's not like a Batman film. It's like a spy, Bond, espionage kind of like.
Right.
And that's the thing is like when you look at like what was influenced to create these kind of superhero movies, it was more of like these techie kind of Bourne Identity.
Favorite.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
It's these like high government kind of like.
Yeah. Underlying conspiracy that we had. Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's what pushed these kind of films and like Alien kind of these kind of sci-fi films that were huge that kind of pushed Marvel and DC to push these darker, grittier, kind of more complex stories.
Right.
And move away from these like early 80s, 90s, early 2000s comedy kind of like kitschy comic books that are actually based on comic books. So I think that's why Wonder Woman feels so weird because it doesn't match what's happening in the rest of the genre.
Right. That's an excellent way to put it.
Thank you.
That is an excellent way to put it. Yeah. And since you didn't ask, I'll tell you, but I'd love to see a Rogue origin story.
Hell no.
Hell yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I think she's she can be a side character. I don't think she's a main character.
Oh, I think she's fascinating.
No, I would love to see like Emma Frost. They're going to do a Jean Grey. And I think Jean Grey done right is an excellent. I would love them to do. I mean, the X-Men tends to be more mask driven.
Yeah.
I think historically they focus on like a Wolverine and the Wolverine triad love story of Wolverine, Jean, and Cyclops.
Yeah. Oh.
Which is a good storyline.
I would pick Cyclops.
I watched a anime series where they really focus on Emma Frost and like with the only femme characters was Emma Frost and this like newer character and Storm, and I was like, I love it. They totally they deleted Jean. I think Jean is such a terrible character.
Well, it's always move on.
Yeah, it's always move about on. A man. And I'm like, who cares? That's the thing is like we don't ever hear about in movies, we don't ever hear about Storm with Black Panther.
Right.
Which is like an actual.
Yeah.
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 Within the comic books, it's always like Storm and Black Panther.
Right.
And I'm just like, that's.
Where is that?
Yeah. I want to hear more. I would love to see like a Catwoman. I would love. There's so many great.
My God, you like Catwoman.
I love Catwoman.
Jeez.
I love Catwoman. I know we're getting off track, but like Catwoman is. I love like a.
Do you like Anne Hathaway Catwoman?
No. I love Eartha
Kitt. I knew you were going to say that. Absolutely not.
I love Eartha Kitt. I love
Michelle. Duh, because she's the best person on the planet.
I love a Michelle Pfeiffer. I love a I Steal Jewels. Yeah.
Okay. Well, wrapping up, are you excited for Wonder Woman 3 or is it, I'm just going to watch it?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to watch Justice League.
I'm going to watch it. I'm interested in this, to see what the new Justice League looks like.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's going to change the storyline of future Justice League. I wonder the success of like Birds of Prey and the Harley Quinn films. Mm. I wonder how that will interpretate because like Harley Quinn tends to be more comedy, more like
chaos.
Yeah. So like I think that's why
this
Wonder Woman film was like, well, we have permission to be a little bit more chaotic, a little bit more crazier. So I'm interested to see what the future of DC films looks like. I'm really excited to see Suicide Squad. I'm really excited to see because like we know what Marvel looks like. I don't know what we don't have like a formula for
a full picture of DC yet. I agree.
So I'm excited.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll see. Attention, Idaho and California residents. If you're shopping for a mortgage, contact PacFi, a mortgage brokerage with the top wholesale lenders in the nation. They are committed to simplifying the mortgage process and saving you time and money. Call 858-442-7048 or visit PACFI.com. NMLHS #1462943, a equal lending housing lender.
This podcast is brought to you by Make Waves Media House. Make Waves Media House is a full-service video production company based out of Spokane, Washington, but does work all over the U.S., specializing in music video production, editing, director of photography services, motion graphics, and commercial work. With 20 years of experience behind the camera and celebrating 7 years of business, Make Waves is here to create your high-quality videos at affordable prices. You can find them on Facebook now at Make Waves Media House, on Instagram at make.waves.mh, or call them now at 509-991-3000. Welcome to the Treasure Valley and Boise, the city of trees. As one of the fastest growing areas in the entire nation, finding the right home is only as important as finding the right realtor. And who better in the Treasure Valley than Regina Collins, realtor. Licensed in both Idaho and California and self-employed since 1999, Regina Collins prides herself on a strong business and marketing background. With years of experience owning and operating full-staff businesses, Regina Collins is ready to work for you. Specializing in relocation, veterans and military families, listings, buyers, commercial, new homes, contingencies, and solar, Regina Collins is able to offer the whole package for her buyers. Whether you are new to Boise, want a better lifestyle for you and your family, or just want to get to know this area better, Regina Collins is honored to help you with this process. For more, visit reginaforhomes.com.
Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Colin.
And you've been listening to
Let's Hear It for the Girls.
It's always a great time at Speak Studios in Boise, Idaho, and we hope you enjoyed learning about the girls.
Now listen, you better like, subscribe, and review us on all major platforms. We'll see you next time.
And thanks for listening.